You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 90 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Yeah, it's the usual team, myself, Dan and Dov. Guys, how you doing this month? It's been a while since the last show. What have you been up to?
I've been having a fight with Skype, Steve. I'm a bit annoyed, really. I don't know what's going on. Microphone doesn't work. I'm now doing it through my phone, which is in danger of having a low battery, but fear not, I found my charger.
Dan, don't do that to us. Please don't do that to us.
We're all good to go, but on a more personal level, no, I'm absolutely fine. Thanks for asking. Not a lot of people ask these days, and it's good to know.
Dolph, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad, Dolph. How are you? Yeah, I've had an exciting month. It's been over a month, but I've had an exciting month. I spent New Year in New York in the United States of America. People think it's glamorous in that see New Year in Times Square, but what they don't tell you is you have to wait in Times Square with no toilet, no food for up to nine hours. I wait 10 hours for midnight. It's great chatting to random strange people, and then you go Happy New Year. 10 minutes later, it's finished. Everybody goes home. It's like 9 hours for that. It's ridiculous. And I was in an earthquake last week as well.
No.
Yeah, there was an earthquake.
Was Labyrinth there?
Was who?
Doesn't matter. You're obviously not down with the kids, are you?
No, I'm old. I'm old, Daniel. That was my first earthquake. Survived to tell the tale. It's an odd experience. But yeah, and it's snowing.
Were you in danger of perishing?
No. It was only a tiny one. It was only like 5.2 on the Richter scale. I don't know if that is like bigger. Apparently, it's small.
I think 7's a powerful one, isn't it? So it's not too far away.
Yeah, it's not there.
I don't know much about the space, to be honest with you, though.
Yeah, it's not my 40 either. But yeah, it was strange. Yeah, but that's pretty much it. And I've eaten pizza as well, as always.
Good stuff, guys. Well, we'll kick off then by looking at a couple of the more recent games, starting with the 2-0 win over Stoke on Tuesday. Two penalties, of course, for Mr. Berbatov and Chicharito, which must be his first goal in a while now, Chicharito. But yeah, what about the goalkeeping position, guys? We'll start with that. Ben Amos, given the nod. De Gea hardly covered himself in glory against Liverpool on the weekend. So, yeah, I mean, he did all right, didn't he, Amos? I know he didn't have a great deal to do, but do you think that's a sign that Ferguson's sort of saying, look, if you're not playing well, then I'm not frightened to drop you?
Well, Fergus said after the Stoke game that De Gea got injured in training, as did Lindegaard as well. So maybe that's why Amos was put in there. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he dropped De Gea. I thought the game on Saturday, I mean, I think it was a bit unlucky with the first goal. Probably should have come out and be a bit more commanding. But at the same time, you know, Dan Agger is, we all know what he's good at. He's good in the air, and no one even jumped with him. And to blame the keeper just for that is a bit harsh. Possibly the second goal could have saved. But as you mentioned, Steve, remember in the Arsenal game when we beat him 8-2, you mentioned one of the goals there. I think the Walcott goal when he went through his legs. He doesn't seem to move his feet quick enough. But it's a tough one because obviously we're going for the title. We're level on points now with City. Half the season's go. You know, the one thing you can say about City is if they've got a world class goalkeeper that could probably keep them in a lot of the games, which, you know, he's not really made that many mistakes, Joe Hart, this season, has he?
Is it a confidence thing with De Gea, though? I mean, he seems very easily sort of intimidated, and he doesn't fancy like a battle with someone like Andy Carroll. I'm not saying I would at all, but yeah, to be a goalkeeper at that sort of level, you'd expect him to relish a sort of challenge like that, but he seems to shy away from it on occasions.
I don't know, the one thing I liked about the Liverpool game, though, after he let in the first goal, about 2 minutes later, the ball came in the box, didn't it, from another corner. He came out and punched that one. He seemed to at least learn from his mistakes there. But I don't know, it's difficult. A lot of the games that he's played in as well, it doesn't help with the back four changing all the time as well. We've not really had a consistent back line throughout the season. Obviously, with Vidic being injured, Ferdinand in and out of the team, Johnny Evans as well. Phil Jones now injured. It's a bit difficult, really. The only one who's played regularly is Patrice Evra. And I thought he was at fault for Liverpool second goal as well.
Being perhaps slightly controversial, stick my neck out slightly. If De Gea wasn't a Spaniard that he paid £18 million for, do you think he'd still be getting chances now? If it was, say, a young English goalkeeper or someone he paid less money for, do you think he'd have just thought, right, I'm going to cut my losses because it's not really working out?
Yeah, but you can see the potential there. You can see that he's going to be a decent goalkeeper, but obviously paying so much money for him early on in his career, maybe that was a mistake. But, you know, if we'd have waited 5 years to buy him, he might have cost double that. So it's one of them catch-22s, really. Do you go and buy him now, or do you go... I heard somebody on Talksport the other day saying, why didn't United go and get Brad Friedel? You know, he never makes a mistake, still plays every game. You know, he's got a few good years in him left, you know, but Fergie wanted a young keeper there. I think it's just unfortunate that, obviously, with Van der Sar retiring, it would have been ideal to have Van der Sar, you know, in and around the club still, whilst De Gea came in, just to sort of tutor him a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think he will be a good goalkeeper. I mean, and Lindegaard's decent backup as well. He's done nothing wrong, I don't think. People were saying about the FA Cup game against City, the Aguero goal, that he could have done more with that. But I think that's harsh. It's considering the conditions and the fact that the shot came and I thought he did well to get behind it.
I've got far more confidence in the team when I know Lindegaard starting ahead of De Gea. I have to say that at the moment, just with De Gea's confidence.
But at the same time, before his mistake against Liverpool, you know, when De Gea did play, he didn't really make any... the Blackburn game, he didn't really make any mistakes prior to that for quite a while, did he? I think that Blackburn game, I think, really sort of hit home a little bit, that even if you're playing against bottom of the league, you've still got to perform to high standards, or otherwise, you know, you get punished.
I think as well, though, like, he's still kind of adjusting a little bit, because obviously he's came from Spain and you don't get as many crosses into the box, which I'm sure we've mentioned before. And now he's pretty much, every time he plays, he's going to be dealing with cross after cross after cross. And because it's kind of been highlighted a little bit that he doesn't really deal with it very well, that teams are going to kind of target him. And like you've seen Andy Carroll went in the Liverpool game just basically physically out-muscling him and getting in his way and intimidating him a little bit. And I just think the mentality of the change, the things he's adjusting to, or maybe he's finding it quite difficult, because he is a good goalkeeper. And they scouted him for a long time as well. It's not like they just said, right, we need a young goalkeeper, right, he's in his 20s, in his early 20s, right, we'll buy him. They scouted him for a long time. So I'm sure that they're confident that eventually he will be able to make it. It's just...
It's the media as well. I mean, I know it doesn't help me bringing him up in this show, but just generally, like, the papers, if ever there's a sort of De Gea mistake, it really is sort of blown up and made a massive thing, even if it's a slight error and we still go on to win the game or something like that. It's just, there seems to be sort of some sort of agenda against him, and he probably wasn't used to that sort of being under the microscope so much at Atletico Madrid and La Liga in general. I don't think the media is quite as sort of intrusive and as it is in England. But no, we shall see.
I think as well, like, because he made the mistake in the very first game he played, That was it, right? Okay, he's terrible, he's rubbish, he's going to make loads more mistakes. And like, you could probably go and pick through his game and you could say, right, he's maybe made 10 mistakes all season. And for a young keeper, it's not too bad. Although some of the mistakes have cost us important goals and places in important competitions and the like. But even like when he's at Atletico Madrid, I think he faced like the most shots out of all the keepers in the league or something. There's a stat, something similar to that anyway. And when you come to United, it's different. You don't have to, like against Stoke, for example, you don't have to be alert all the time. There's only a few instances where you've got to do something and then you'll get maybe 10, 15 minutes where you don't touch the ball, you don't see the ball. And maybe he's finding that difficult to adjust to as well. But I think it'll come good eventually, in my opinion.
Yeah, we shall see. What we thought was a really promising youngster that did leave in January was Ravel Morrison. We'll come on to that a bit more later on. But Paul Pogba did stick around and came on, of course, against Stoke. I think Ferguson said post-match that Pogba said he wants to stay and that they're sort of negotiating a deal for him now, obviously, with it running out in the summer. The fact that he's given him a chance and he is involving him in the first team in the Premier League as well must show Pogba that Ferguson thinks a lot of him and that he wants him to stick around.
Yeah, I've said before on this show that Pogba is a really decent player, and from all accounts, yesterday was brilliant when he came on. He did all the simple things well and he made an impact. Interesting as well with the timing that Ferguson, you know, obviously Morrison had left on the same day, and I think it was kind of a bit of a dig at Morrison as well by bringing Pogba on. But hopefully Pogba can sign a new deal, because he's a really good player. And obviously with the Morrison thing as well, he said on Twitter, didn't he, that he just wants to play. Well, I'm sure if he hung around a little bit, he would have played at United. But time will tell on that one, won't it?
Yeah, I think it was maybe more mentality. I think he would have got his chance given the midfield options that we don't have. I think as well, seeing that Gibbo's left, that I bet you're distraught, Dan, that Gibbo's gone. That gives gives Pogba kind of more opportunity as well to get minutes where otherwise he wouldn't, because he'd have, you'd say, a more experienced player ahead of him. But it looks good, and if he can get more minutes and take advantage of it, then why not? I mean, we've always kind of promoted youth, which kind of is a bit of a juxtaposition given we brought Paul Scholes back from retirement, but we've always kind of give it a chance if it's there, and say why not give him a chance.
Hey, don't talk bad about Paul Scholes. I think since he's come back, he's been our best player. It's unbelievable. You know, right, the City game when he came on, he looked a little bit rusty, but still his passing was brilliant, apart from the mistake he made in the corner, and obviously scored against, was it Bolton he scored against?
Yeah.
And obviously last night, apparently, he just ran the show.
Yeah,
and against Liverpool as well. It's strange, really. You know, obviously you don't lose it overnight, and he must have kept his fitness up a little bit, and it was brilliant to see him back. And just a quick question on Scholes, that just move it on. Like, have we not noticed this season? Like, I know he's only played 5 games or whatever, but he seems to be playing more further forward, doesn't he? He's getting in the box. I mean, he set up the penalty chance yesterday by being on the edge of the area, which we didn't see a lot last season.
You probably wouldn't have thought that was a tactical thing either. You wouldn't have thought Ferguson sort of took him aside and said, look, I want to see you starting to get forward a bit more. Maybe he sat at home that brief period when he retired and thought, do you know what, I miss scoring goals. I'm going to come back and I'm going to start getting forward a bit more. Do you think that maybe went through his mind at all?
Maybe, yeah. Obviously, it must be great to score a goal at Old Trafford in front of 75,000 people, so I imagine you would miss it if you did it. I don't know, really. It's just, like you say, it might be tactical, though. Fergie might have just said, look, if you feel there's a chance to go forward, then go and do it, you know. Scholes and Carrick have always worked well together in midfield, and obviously Carrick's in a good vein of form at the moment. And I think Carrick's, you know, he's dependable. He'll sit in if he needs to. If Scholes goes forward, Carrick will just sit there and mop up. And I think that it works well. And I can't wait for Cleverley to get back and for Anderson as well to properly come back. Because I quite like to see, you know, a decent midfield three there.
Yeah, I mean, we discussed at length what we thought was a sort of obvious hole in that midfield, in the central midfield, that we were sort of hoping maybe would get filled with a signing in January. But like you say, when Cleverley's back and Anderson is back as well, and with Scholes obviously coming out of retirement too, there's certainly a few more options available than there had been.
It's the Fletcher situation, really, that's killed us a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, because if he was fully fit, he'd be playing now, wouldn't he? He'd be next to... And Scholes wouldn't have to next to Carrick, and Scholes wouldn't have to play all the time and you know, rest him. Obviously, you've got Giggs who can play in there as well. I'm not convinced about Park playing in the middle.
To be honest,
but yeah, we've definitely got people there.
Watching Park, like the last couple of games he's played in the middle, it looks kind of although he took his goal well, granted, the other day, but he looks like he's fallen over his feet a bit more than usual. I've never been a big fan of his kind of, like, technique wise. I always think that's his weakest part of his game, but obviously the energy and the work rate he gives you is great. But it just seems like his technique's got a wee bit worse, and he was losing the ball a number of times against Liverpool, and just kind of looked like he was running into blind alleys and stuff like that, which...
If you're not used to playing in that position, though, that's what you do, isn't it? Though you don't trust your ability as much. Whereas when he's out wide, he does tend to do a good job there, doesn't he? But like you say, if he's receiving the ball in tight areas, he might not be. If he's not as technically, you know, gifted as the rest of the midfield, then he's going to look a bit out of place. But you know, I don't know. He did take his goal well the other day, and I thought he's not played really, really badly. But again, he's not had a lot of games really.
I think the slower pace in not the Champions League anymore. I think that's it, to be honest. I think the slower pace and gets a bit more time on the ball. In the Premier League, it's just so frenetic that you haven't got time to think, really. But when he's given a bit more freedom to get in the sort of gaps and a bit more time on the ball, I think that suits him a lot better, because he's obviously not a pace sort of player that relies on electric speed. So, yeah, potentially that's part of it.
Oh, he's tidy in possession, though, and I think when we are, like, 1-0 up or something, he's good at keeping the ball and not losing it.
So I would say the opposite. Well, maybe generally overall he is, but I think the last few games he looks like he gives the ball away a bit more than normal. That's the thing. It looked like he's just giving the ball away a bit more than normal, getting caught in the ball more often than not, which... Oh, that was frustrating me. You're right, it's not like him, but I just think maybe because he is getting on a wee bit, and maybe he's... I'm not going to say he's over the hill, but maybe he's just at the peak of the hill.
You two disagreeing on something? Can't be.
We've been in agreement all season.
He relies on his stamina, doesn't he? And obviously, as you get older, you lose a bit of your stamina, don't you? And your strength. So maybe it's that. And he was he not injured at the beginning of the season as well for quite a while? And he's not really picked it up since. Yeah. But I'm sure he'll get games in the Europa League, won't he?
To be fair,
back end of the season, you need players like that when everybody else is tiring and someone who's not played as much.
This is true. That's where postcodes could be a jewel. Going back to that, actually, do you think that was kind of planned for a long time? Because obviously it happened kind of, what was it, an hour before?
I text Steve saying Scholes is back, and he's like, he didn't have it, and then he's seen on the bench. I was like,
because I watched it, I didn't see the lineups when I was watching it, so I'm just sitting there and had no commentary and stuff. So I'm just thinking, oh yeah, fantastic. And then 60 minutes, they just cut to Paul Scholes warming up. I'm like, what's going on? What's happening here? Paul Scholes is back.
A rerun from last.
So what's happening? And then obviously after the game, we went and read all the news, and just like, Paul Scholes came back an hour before kickoff. But it's how they kept it quiet was beyond me, to be honest.
Apparently all the players didn't even know. Like, Scholes got off the coach, and I think Rooney said on MUTV that he asked him what he's doing here. He said, I'm just doing some coaching before the game. And he puts his kit on, and he's like, what are you doing?
Just briefly looking at the Liverpool defeat, guys, we don't want to reflect too much on that. We touched on De Gea being slightly unconvincing. What about the booing of Patrice Evra? That was, distasteful, wasn't it, really? And doesn't really make too much sense.
I would call it disgusting. So on you go, Dan.
Yeah, but it is. It is disgusting because, obviously, he's put in this complaint that he's been racially abused, and Suarez has been found to have commented, at least, you know, we know what he said. But I don't know, if it was the other way around, would United fans boo on the Liverpool players? They probably would, so I don't know.
I think what it is sort of once it gets started and it sort of starts echoing around the ground, people just join in and don't really think about the implications of what they're doing. I guess it's just a sort of, you jump on the bandwagon sort of thing, if you like, but I see.
You're not going to get put away for booing someone, are you? So, no, exactly. And especially if the ground does it, then you know.
But just like from a personal perspective, even if it was happening at Old Trafford, I think I'd have more sense than to join in with it, because that's just not part of
Yeah. It's like all the stuff when the Arsene Wenger chants come out as well at Old Trafford. They used to do a few years ago. They don't anymore. You don't need to sing it. And I've never sang it. And it's like, you know, why do people... you know, what's the point?
I think
people don't have common sense at football grounds. It's very...
just tribal in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think as well, after the game when Kenny Dalglish called it banter, I think that was a bit... he should know a bit better. It's a guy's been racially abused, and essentially the implication there is that they're calling him a liar. Whether or not you believe that is entirely up to you. Read the FA's report. The complaint's been upheld. And if Patrice ever felt abused, and then he goes to a ground and gets booed and people are calling him a liar, then what's another player going to think if something happens to him? Like, even like Anton Ferdinand got a bullet sent in the post, and I think most people can see John Terry like say what he said, although it's an allegation at the minute. What's another black player going to say if he gets abused? I don't want bullets in the post. I don't want that kind of abuse at every ground I go to. I'm just going to keep quiet, which I think is, kind of, just in terms of society, a complete and utter backward step. And
well, it'd be the same, I suppose, if Anton Ferdinand went to Stamford Bridge. He'd get booed, wouldn't he?
Well, if he's getting bullets in the post, they probably get something that's a little worse, just a bit more than boot.
Yeah, that is daft. It goes too far. I mean, there's another little side note to the Chelsea game on the weekend, obviously, with Ferdinand being, it might play against John. Well, is John Terry injured?
No, he should play.
All right, because if them two play, they're all saying on the media, aren't they, whether he should shake his hand or not. That'll be interesting to see.
Well, they waved it, didn't they,
Yeah, QPR, yeah.
The FA Cup game, and they both played in that, and there was a rumour going around that apparently all the QPR players would have refused to shake Terry's hand, so this sort of FA intervened and spoke to both clubs, and yeah, they didn't go ahead with it in the end. But yes, like you say, I think the fact this sort of thing has never really come up before. I know there's been racist chanting and things like that in the past, but the whole... getting behind a player and supporting him quite as much as, well, like we've seen with the likes of Liverpool, less so Chelsea. But it just seems, like you say, it just seems to be that fans are so attached to their players, and it's such a tribal sort of attachment that, yeah, like it's like common sense and just...
Well, did you see there's T-shirts outside the ground at the Anfield in the FA Cup game that said, "We're not racist, we just hate Manx"? Which was ironic, given it was in front of Hillsborough posters as well. I was thought, well, you've got a cause there that's actually a real cause and a just cause. Do something about that, and not something that's just there. Like, they're making money off it as well, which is even worse.
Anyway, we'll move it on from there. In terms of the performance, though, I mean, we played very well, didn't we? To be fair, it was. The goals, we talked about arguably De Gea at blame for the second. But in terms of the way we controlled the game, for the most part, we did well, didn't we?
I thought we did very well. I mean, that's probably one of the best performances at Anfield we've had in the last few years. It's just unfortunate that we ended up losing the game. It's one of the things, if you switch off at the back, you get punished. And obviously, Carroll... it's the only thing he did all game, really. He won the header and then Kyle got in. He's the worst player in the world, Dirk Kyle, but he always seems to score. You know? It just winds me up. But it's just players like him that... And obviously now, he scored as well last night, didn't he, against Wolves. It's like we just seem to be a turning point in his career every time. He'll go another 20 games without scoring, and then when he plays us, he'll score again.
What did you think of him?
I expect Torres to score the weekend as well.
What did you think of Danny Welbeck? Because I thought he was quite poor. Given that we pretty much controlled the game, I thought he didn't really play that lone frontman role as well as somebody like Wayne Rooney or even Dimitar Berbatov, I would say. I thought he was quite poor.
He wasn't really, really poor, but at the same time, he didn't get much service. And as well, Liverpool have got a decent defensive record this season. So I thought they did well to handle him, really. They played a really decent line at the back, so you couldn't get him behind. But yeah, maybe the changing point was when we brought Scholes off and put Hernandez on. It just opened it up a little bit, and that's when Liverpool started to get on the ball a bit more. But, you know, you can't win if you fail. You can if you go for the win like you did by bringing Hernandez on, or if you'd have sat back and put another midfielder on for the draw. you know, people would have been up in arms about either way. So
I think it shows as well how well Welbeck and Rooney sort of work together. It's a really sort of great partnership that's, for the most part, come about this season, hasn't it, really? And it's really sort of hit on. That's a large part of the reason why Chicharito, I suppose, hasn't been getting as many opportunities. I know he's been injured, but even since he's been back, Welbeck's been keeping him out of the team. So I think that that partnership, Rooney and Welbeck, is...
The thing with Welbeck as well is he's a game changer. He can do little stuff just in a matter of in a minute. He's like a... I don't know, he's just a match winner, isn't he? And obviously Hernandez is, but for Hernandez to be a match winner, he needs supply into the box. But whereas Welbeck can sort of create something himself a little bit, I think.
Good stuff. Well, we'll move on to discuss the end of the transfer window, with it being deadline day a couple of days ago. Just the one arrival, guys, Frederik Vasseli. Does anyone know a great deal about him from City?
I'm going to declare myself out, Steve.
He is a centre-half. He played for Switzerland under-17s, I think. I think he was captain in their World Cup. But it's strange, isn't it, how City have let him come to United, though. Yeah, a bit weird. It was a surprise, but obviously Fergie's seen something in him, or the coaches have.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that you hope he'll develop and really go back and haunt City, really. But, yeah, you never know with that sort of deal. Time will tell, I suppose. But the big one was the departure of Ravel Morrison. We discussed it briefly earlier, but... yeah, can you see that one potentially coming back to haunt us in the future? Or do you think Ferguson's got it spot on that you don't really see with Morrison's sort of attitude, well-reported attitude and things like that? Do you think that's that he's made the right decision in getting rid of him now?
He had enough chances, to be honest. I mean, he's been in court like at least two or three times. And not showing up for training, general poor attitude. I think if everything I've read about him, all the coaches really couldn't be bothered with him anymore, didn't want to deal with him. I think that I read a quote in one article that was attributed to one of the coaches talking to Morrison's one of his parents, I think, and just said there's no hope for him, really. You'd be as well getting shot of him, essentially. And I think Fergie's kind of tried to give him a chance to say, look, you've got the ability, kind of that normal, if you work hard, you'll get a chance. But I think because he's done it time and time again, even Fergie's lost patience with him. And he's 18 years old. Like, he can't, you don't know if he's going to be good, if he's going to become good. And I just think, well, he's a disruptive influence. He's annoying everybody. Just... get rid of him, take £1 million for him, and if it comes back, it comes back. It's one of those things you've got to take. But he was given enough chances, and I would agree with what the club did.
The lack of a buyback clause though is a bit of a strange one. Maybe West Ham wouldn't have gone through with it if that had been on the table. But you'd have thought Ferguson would have sort of backed himself up with something like that.
Maybe he just doesn't feel he is going to make it. Maybe he thinks the guy's got too much baggage around him. Because what he did come out and say was when he was praising Pogba that Morrison needed to get out of Manchester. So maybe he's even just looking out for the lad's welfare. Really, maybe he thinks, right, we can't develop him because of where he lives. It's hampering his development. We'll send him to... because West Ham have got a good youth academy. And they're in the Championship, they'll give them games. Maybe it's just like for just looking out for the player, which I wouldn't put past Fergie either. Maybe just thinking, well, we can't do anything with him. He's annoyed us enough. Go and send him somewhere else and see if they can help him?
I think he's a good player, but obviously, for him to show that he's a good player, he needs to play games. And we're not going to do that for another season or so at United. So I think West Ham's a good club for him to go to. And I'll be interested to see how he does.
Yeah, we'll certainly be keeping an eye on his progress. Oliver Norwood was another one to leave on loan to Coventry. But no arrivals. I don't think that comes as a particular surprise, does it, to us?
Not really, no. Although, talking about Gibbo again, I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently Fergie was asked after the Stoke game about Darren Gibson scoring the winner against City, and he said that's all part of the plan. I like that.
Yeah, he did say that. He did say that.
Okay, guys, moving on to player and cabbage of the month then. Start off with player. Dan, a few to choose from. Who'd be your player for this month?
Tony V. He's been brilliant this month. Unbelievable. I think he's been sensational.
I'm going to agree with you, Dan. He's been amazing.
Tony V. I'm struggling to work out.
He's a guy sits next to me in the crowd. He's been amazing. He's been chanting on it all along, I tell you.
Tony V for you?
It was going to be Tony V for me as well. I thought he'd be amazing against Bolton, against Arsenal. Thought he had a good game against Liverpool as well. And it's interesting because last season, when everything we spoke about Valencia, we'd all say, we know what he's going to do. He's going to take it on the right side. He's going to go on the outside as close to the flank as possible. Sprint past the defender and get across him. But you've noticed recently he started cutting inside a little bit more and having a shot or trying to play a 1-2 and things like that. So he's developing his game, which I like to see, and his performances have showed that. So Tony V for me as well. He's getting a double at least.
I'm going to give it to Paddy E. I think since I had a go at him in the last show, sort of saying that he really needs to start improving, I think he has. I think he's grown with having the armband since Vidic has been injured, and just his performances have certainly improved a hell of a lot since last month. What about Cabbage then? I'm going to steal what I think is one of the only options, De Gea. Again, I think I gave it to him last month as well, possibly. He was certainly up there with Evra. But for the Liverpool game, I thought it was awful. And we've discussed it at length, haven't we, earlier on. But I just never have the same faith in De Gea compared to when Lindegaard's playing. And even Amos the other day, I wasn't as worried as I have been when De Gea's been starting. Dov, would it be for you?
It's a tough one, to be honest. I think pretty much the performances recently have been very good. And maybe I'm going to actually give it to Danny Welbeck, because I think he's not been as good as what I thought he could have been. There's a couple of games where I didn't think he did anything, and especially, even though you say, Dan, that Liverpool played well in defence, I think he could have done a wee bit more. But yeah, I think generally most of the players have played well. I would get a special mention to Michael Carrick in the Player of the Month, because I think, like what Dan said, he's been good, he's been amazing. I think he's back to his best. But yeah, Cabbage is Danny Welbeck.
Dan?
I've had a long time to think about this, and I still can't think of anyone, really. I think everyone's been good.
It's got to be Dan Higher, surely.
I don't know. He's not played much, has he? And I don't agree with. I don't think it was his fault, the first goal. I think it was more just unlucky. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Well, but I'm not going with Welbeck, because that's a ludicrous claim.
You said that last time. So I just Rooney. I said was playing off last time, and I was called an idiot. Now I'm ludicrous. Jeez, I can't win.
In fact, that's a good shout, Rooney. I don't think Rooney's been brilliant. He's been good at like sort of setting up play, but he's not been. Not been prolific, has he? So, yeah, good shout, Rooney. Just because I can't think of anybody else, so.
Nice. Time for reserves review now. Dov's going to bring us up to speed with the latest on the reserves and the youth teams.
It is indeed, Steve. It's time for reserves review. We'll start with the academy side, and we'll go all the way back to the beginning of January in the Academy Premier League, where United took on Bolton at Carrington, and it was a magnificent game, although the result maybe wasn't the best, but it was a 3-3 draw, with to show some great resolve to get back onto level terms. We got goals from Jack Rudge, Sam Burton and Luke Hendry, and at one point we were 3-1 down, and we also went a goal down in the first minute when Rudge
afterwards tripped up Luke Woodland in the penalty area after 30 seconds of the game, but we got back on to level terms in a lovely, exciting match it was. The next game for the youngsters was in the FA Cup youth round, the fourth round. And this was against Derby County. And Jack Barmby, he took his tally for the season into double figures with two strikes and a 2-1 win. The Rams, Derby, they won Arsenal the previous round, but Barmby put them to the sword, even though they were a goal up. Went up a goal up after 20 minutes in that one as well. But Barmby, who's having a good season overall, really, for the youngsters. Next, on the 21st of January, so not too long ago, was West Brom in the Academy Premier League. And another draw this time, but there was no goals in it. It was a 0-0 draw. Johnny Sutherland actually made his first starting goal for the youngsters, and Jack Barmby, who'd scored in the previous, scored two goals in the FA Youth Cup against Derby, he was dropped to the bench, and Kenji Gore was given a start as well. And then we'll come a bit more up to date. Another game in the Academy Premier League, and I've got bad news. It was a defeat against Everton at Carrington, 4-1 as well. Jack Barmby, he got the goal for us, but really is a pretty torrid performance as well. Ross Barkley, who most of you will be aware of, who's actually played for the Everton first team, he pretty much ran the show for Everton in this game, so... A bad win that extends the winless streak as well for the youngsters. But I have good news. The FA Cup Youth Cup fifth round has been played. United played Swansea at the Liberty Stadium and got a 5-1 victory. A magnificent performance from the youngsters, who had a number of injuries as well. And that's them through to the quarterfinals. It's a great first half display. We took a 3-0 lead in at half time. Jack Barmby, Giuliano Van Velsen, and Sam Byrne scoring the goals for us. And then after half time, Van Velsen, he got his second in the 49th minute. Jimmy Loveridge, he got a consolation for Swansea before Tyler Blackett managed to get a fantastic goal near the end, just an 89th minute, a magnificent shot from a short free kick there, and Van Velsen, he put in a great performance, got two goals, and really everywhere a constant threat, as was Jack Barmby, who had a number of shots as well. Right, so let's move on. We shall move on to the reserve side. Mid-January for this one, it was a Manchester Senior Cup against Stockport, and United, they won this game 1-0 thanks to a solitary goal from former player Mami Biram Juf, who's now departed to Hamburg. And to be honest, really, United would have had a few other goals, but hit the woodwork three times in the game. So I think that tells you all you need to know. Next game up for the reserves was in the Reserve Premier League on the 26th of January, and this was a magnificent performance and a great game for United fans. It was against Newcastle, and it was 6-0. Will Keane, Soderberg on goal, two from David Petrucci, one from Michael Keane, and one from Asachi as well. Will Keane was the first to score in half an hour, and David Petrucci, who actually captained the side again, got those two goals, and Alberto Masacchi got the last one as well.
You're listening to the Red Cafe Petrucci podcast.
And Paul Pogba were pulling the strings in midfield, completely dominated the game. Jesse Lingard and Larnell Cole on either side of them were just as good, you would say, as well. It was a sublime performance from the youngsters in the reserve league there as well. Now we'll move on to the Senior Cup, with a game played on the 1st of February at Carrington, and this was against Oldham, and it was 3-0 to United. Basically pretty much secured a place in the Senior Cup final with this game as well. Lingard scored just after a half hour, Wilkin just before half time as well, and then David Petrucci got a goal on the 45th minute. Warren Joyce's team have got 15 points from 5 games in the competition, and although they're not mathematically certain to get all the way to the final, pretty much got a foot in there. The game was played behind closed doors, and really it was a bit of a, how you would say, it was a bit of a slow burner until Lingard's goal. David Petrucci was again having another fine game. It's good to see him kind of steering clear from injuries and getting the games under his belt, and he's really putting in the performances. So let's hope he keeps up, and he's recently got into the Italy under 21 squad as well. So obviously you'd be hoping for him to at least start getting on the bench for the first team as well. Also, Darren Fletcher, he was had a bit of involvement in this game. He sort of was getting involved a bit in coaching, and he took the reserves out for the warm up as well, as he did against Newcastle in the game before. So it was good to see from the boys there, and the reserve side having much the better time out of the two sort of youth teams. So it's good to see them, some good performances, and again with some good youngsters coming through too.
Well then, Dan, I'm going to pass it over to you in a minute, because it's your favourite part of the show, the Twitter roundup. Guys, what's been going on the social network scene?
I've got a confession to make, actually, boys. I mean, since the last episode, I've been getting into a bit of Twitter.
Ooh.
I've been hashtagging, I've been at whoever, you know, I've been all over it. It is a massive development.
You like a hashtag as well, don't you, Dan?
I do love a hashtag. I even text you with hashtags now. it's a revolution. I quite like it, but one day I suppose it'll get like Facebook and just be boring. So I'm going to make the most of it whilst it's still alive, Twitter.
Have you downloaded Michael Owen's app yet?
No, I haven't.
I don't know, I've not got it. I thought maybe you'd got into that as well. But obviously,
no, I've not got real. Real's got one as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I've been reading, but no, I've not really. What do they do, these apps? What do they just tell you information about Michael Owen?
Just tells you what he's getting up to and stuff, I presume. I don't know. I don't know what a Michael Owen app could consist of. If it's anything like that brochure he sent out, it must be fantastic.
It'll be all dark horses and stuff, won't it?
And darts.
Yeah, I'm not really. Yeah. he lives a great lifestyle, Michael Owen. Right, shall we crack on? Carriage of the Month, Wayne Rooney. Has been tweeting quite a lot. A lot about his personal details as well. Obviously, there was rumours beginning of the month about him leaving United. And then United issued a statement, didn't they? About saying, you know, Rooney's staying, and Rooney had to issue a statement as well, which was a bit weird. But he quoted on Twitter, "The Independent, as in the newspaper, are talking absolute rubbish. My future is Manchester United and the club, and I are totally committed to each other." So that's good to hear, but I'm still not certain about Rooney. I think something's lurking in the waters. What do you think?
Yeah, strange.
I've just got a funny feeling about it. I don't know why.
No smoke without fire, as they say, don't they? And why would there be a rumour coming out of? I suppose it was linked to the fine he got, and when he was dropped over going out on, was it Boxing Day night? He went out.
It was, yeah.
And it wasn't.
I've got a mate actually at work who lives in Southport. And he said he saw him. So he might have grasped him up. He's a Liverpool fan as well. That could have been him. I'll have a word of him about that tomorrow. Also, after the City FA Cup game, when obviously the company got sent off, didn't he, for that two-footed lunge, which I thought was a red card, he tweeted saying, "Funny how people think I got company sent off. I'm not the ref. I didn't give a red card." And he thinks it was a clear two-footed tackle as well, which was a deserving of the dismissal. He loves to listen to Richard Keys and Andy Gray as well, apparently, on TalkSport. Listens every day on his way to work. Now, I picked up on that, really. I wouldn't class going to play football as work.
Well, to be fair, it is for them. It's their job.
It is. No, it is for Rooney, of course. But the same, would you put that on? You'd just say on the way to training or whatever, wouldn't you? You would put work.
Maybe he ran out of letters on Twitter, Dan. Maybe he'd like got to say, "I need another word for training, work." That'll do.
Maybe.
So you didn't really go into that much. Over a toy.
Yeah, maybe. Right. And he says he must have obviously watched the El Clasico as well, which I watched. It was ridiculous. Pepe, and I agree with Rooney here, what an idiot. Sometimes people wind you up. If you're playing against Pepe, you just want to smash him in the face. He deserves it. I hope someone does it one day. He's ridiculous. He's not even a human being. He's pathetic. He does wind me up. I can imagine Rooney sat in his lounge just like throwing stuff at his TV like I was. I was like, what is going on here? I might tweet Rooney and see if I can go and watch an El Clasico game with him.
Does he throw stuff at his TV?
I could do. Yeah, why not? Get clean to wipe up the mess as well. Be fine. he likes American Idol as well, which I've not really ever seen, so I couldn't really comment. And yeah, that's about it for Rooney. Phil Jones next. He doesn't really get on Twitter much, does he? I've got one line here in a month. he said, it's a great afternoon doing the Photoshop for Chess London. What's Chess London?
I'm guessing it's a clothing brand.
I've never heard of it. Must be a posh man's.
Yeah, boutique. I was
going to
say, yeah, it's probably fashionable
dance. Whoa, only for that. You're going to be totally loyal. I'll be flaunting everywhere, mate. I'm going to get the army out.
Anyway, carry on. Sorry to
interrupt. Yeah, and he said it's a pleasure to be an ambassador for them, which is good. Let me have a look. Let me scroll down. Right, Ryan Morrison, even. I can't even read. Right, obviously, there's a lot of speculation about his future, which has obviously come to light in the past day or so. He stated that he never asked for 30 grand, 50 grand, or 20 grand. Just saying the rumours are all false, really. He did say he's not going to City, which was true, I suppose. And then, obviously, today he's put thanks for everyone who supported me through the years whilst I've been at Man United. I have had a great time and just needed to play.
Do you like he's just a through, as in to throw a ball and
yeah,
not through?
So, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think he's quite literate, though. And he said he appreciates the people who have wished him luck with the move to West Ham. So, okay, yeah, fair enough. I hope he does well. But he could have done well at United.
Yeah, I think we all do. I think we all do. It's a matter now. Can I do some?
You can do as many as you want, yeah. Go for it.
Right, I'll do three as well, though. I don't want to overshadow you. But I'm going to start with Michael Owen because he's a serial tweeter. He's got nothing else to do. He just tweets all day.
But can he tweet from, like, in the stands when you're watching the game? Like?
Probably. Yeah, he just tweets constantly. They say that apparently there are different rules in La Liga. It says they seem to give a free kick even if it's blasted an arm from a yard away, and then they book them. And he says two wrongs obviously make a right, and then hashtag bringing technology, bringing technology fast. So he's obviously an advocate for video technology.
He could actually stand on the goal line whilst he's injured and just like, hold the camera up. he could be a pioneer for this, really. That's what he could do.
Well, Dan, you're one of those people that abuse him, because he actually tweeted about this. He says, plenty of miserable people out there this morning. Why do you abuse me all the time? I'm injured. I'm desperate to play, but I can't.
Just picture him, Michael Owen, sat behind the net, just adjudicating on goal-line decisions.
He could have his own uniform as well.
Like a darts uniform, like have a wee shirt, like a shiny shirt with like Owen on the back.
If he wants, yeah. Michael Spendow Owen, he could be called. Okay.
Oh my God. What else did he do? He commented on David De Gea and his mistake. But he says he doesn't agree with the negativity towards him. And he says he's made a couple of mistakes. But he says, listening to some people, you think he had a nightmare against Liverpool. And he said he's not having either goal as De Gea's fault. So, avid defence of the Spaniard. And also, he's been working. See, he's injured, but he's been doing a bit of work. He was clearing up the mess in his garden after the wind blew down a third of his tree earlier in the month. And then he posted a little picture of him with a chainsaw cutting his tree up. So there you go. So, interesting.
I quite like Michael Owen. I think he seems to be a bit down to earth and all right.
Yeah, I think all the people were complaining about giving him abuse were all Liverpool fans that I've seen. And to be fair, they were being really nasty. Like, I had a look at some of the comments, and to be honest, this is a family show and I can't repeat them at all. But have a look and you'll see some of it. It's disgusting. Right, well, Rio Ferdinand, who is another one who tweets way too much. He's again, talking about tackling, he says football's on its way to being a non-contact sport. He says he's disappointed. And you mentioned his app. He retweeted Nani, who says, Rio, what about us loyal fans who had your app when it first came out? Now the Mickey Mouser fans get entered in some competition he had. So there you go. What else? His kid was annoying him at 4:30 in the morning as well, asking him if it's the morning, and his reply was no. And what else?
Such an insightful show, isn't it?
This is what's come to. Also, he's organising a free meal at his restaurant, which is Russell Restaurant, for Darren Gibson as well. So there you go. So if you want to check out Darren Gibson at some point, you'll be at Russell Restaurant at some point having a meal for free. So there you go.
Apparently it's nice in there.
Yeah, a couple of people tweeted and said it's nice. I've never been. You look closer to it than I do, Dan, so you should go and check it out and see what it's like.
All right.
Russell's Italian for red. So it's Red Restaurant. I'll see what he's done there. It's good, no?
That's it, yeah. Quite clever, isn't it?
What else? Last one. I'll leave it to Nani, and this is another kitchen-themed tweet. He posted a picture, and he says, who wants to try this typical Portuguese dish called Bacalhau com Natas, which I've no idea what it is. But yeah, so if anybody wants to try that, it's probably. But yeah, just tweet Nani, and you'll be able to. I don't know how what he was going to like invite, if he was going to invite you around to his house or send you some of the posts or just to go around to your house and make it. But yeah, he's offering people or the opportunity to try it. So there you go. That's Twitter finished.
Is it though? One more.
Oh.
Tom Cleverley. This is from memory. Can you believe that? He bought a onesie. You know.
I guess he's been looking at that.
One of those pajama things.
Who's been looking at them? Me. I've been out. I've had a look. I tell you what, right, online, some of them are like £60. It's unbelievable.
What on earth is a onesie? I've clearly missed something.
It's like a big baby girl for adults. It's amazing. But like, yeah, that's what it is, essentially.
Yeah.
And you can get accessories to it. Like, if you pay a fiver, you can get, like, if you get like a tiger print design, you can get like a tail on it. You can get ears on top of it. It's amazing. Honestly, you can't go wrong with it. I'm seriously considering purchasing one.
God, you never cease to amaze me, Dan.
And then next time we do the podcast, I'll be sat here in my onesie. And I'll post a picture on Twitter.
You're not bringing a podcast to a podcast. You're not bringing a onesie to my house.
Yeah, that's how you do that. That's it. Yeah. Oh, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, for all our listeners wondering what we're going on about, other than the onesie stuff, we're heading over, myself and Dan, to Italy, where Dov is based, as I'm sure you're aware of all the pizza comments, at the end of February, and we're hoping to record a live show in some form. More details on that closer to the time. Just on Cleverley, he's also been talking about how he's been getting back into training gradually, and his comeback's doing well. So that's good to hear. Okay, guys, well, before we finish the show, we just got to do a brief preview for a few games coming up. Look at these two next ones. Chelsea away in the league and then Liverpool at home in the league. Potentially crucial, especially with it being level on points now with City. But, Dan, given Chelsea's form in particular, it's they're games we should be winning, really, if we want to win the title.
Yeah, definitely. Chelsea were poor last night against Swansea by all accounts. And I think, obviously, if Terry does end up being injured, then and actually called suspended as well. I think we should really. And that's a good point, because Valencia's been in really good form. So I don't know who will play left back for Chelsea, but Valencia should give him a right rough going over. So hopefully we'll come out with 3 points there. And obviously the Liverpool game, we'll be well up for that. Bit of revenge. Atmosphere will be good. So yeah, I'm quite confident about those two games, actually.
When is Luis Suarez back? I don't know off the top of my head. Is he back for that game?
I'm sure I read when he first got banned that he was back for that game. He was back for the game before, but I'm not sure. I'm sure he's back for the Old Trafford game.
I think it was Tottenham, potentially. Is that who they're playing next? Liverpool? Not the fixtures in front of me, but think it may have been Spurs was the game he returned. It was either Spurs or Bolton. But I don't know off the top of my head. But anyway, we might come back to that one. But yeah, hopefully he is still in the, out of contention for that game. Dov, after those two, Ajax in the Europa League, you getting up to that in any way at all? Or?
Well, it should be a good game. Like two giants of the European game. Back-to-back as well, because I'm guessing the weekend in between would be an FA Cup weekend. So yeah, back-to-back games against Ajax. And to be honest, you would expect to... I'm debating how serious Fergie's going to take this competition. Because, I mean, we said before that the older players whose fault it was, or who were kind of the culprits for us getting eliminated from the Champions League, should have to play in the Europa League. But to be honest, it depends how serious he takes it. To be honest, I hope he does take it quite seriously. Like we said, a trophy is a trophy at the end of the day, and we've not won it. But, I mean, he'll probably be thinking, like, all the focus is on the Premier League, so...
Not risking injuries and such, like... Yeah, interesting to see how he approaches it. Well, that is just about the end now of episode 90 of the RedCafe.net podcast. As I say, we're hoping to do a live show of some description towards the end of February. So stay tuned for that, and thanks again for tuning in for this episode. We'll be right back.